At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Coming up on show 497, a bonus show, the highlights of Tesla's shareholder meeting 2019. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Wednesday, the 12th of June, 2019. Bonus edition today. And I've been through, normally I say on this show, right, if you listen to the news episodes of the show, normally I say I go through all the EV stories every day and try and save you time by filtering out just the 20 minutes of news that you need to know. Well, today I've done that with Tesla's shareholder meeting. It was a two-hour, well, sort of about an hour and a half presentation, and then there was some financial stuff on the beginning. But really, it was Elon Musk on stage going through the current state of the nation and the plans for the future as well. He was joined on stage by JB Straubel, his right-hand man over all these years, and by another chap called Drew, who is he's a 14-year long-timer at Tesla, but not necessarily always out front in terms of presentation. So interesting that it was those three on stage. He is JB's right-hand man. So JB Straubel is the guy that looks after everything like the battery tech. Drew works with him. And so it's interesting that maybe JB is going to be taking a break sometime soon, or maybe moving on to other things within Tesla. Look, this is all speculation just based on the fact that they introduced JB's right-hand man to the wider public and press and raising his profile. It could be absolutely nothing to do with what I just speculated, but curious that it was those three on stage. So on the show today, I'm going to try and take you through the shareholder meeting and just pick out a few highlights. If you're interested in Tesla, I think you'll find this interesting. If you're interested generally in EVs, I think you'll find this interesting. And I'll just try and add a little bit of commentary along the way if you're new to the podcast as well, and to try and put it in context. I'll start off by saying this was a really interesting presentation by Tesla and Elon Musk, because so much of it you may have heard before. So much of it EV fans will have heard. And some of it was pretty basic as well about charging and the benefits of driving an EV. So I think this was very much done for the benefit of the wider public who are becoming interested in EVs now, and the wider investors. This was, after all, a shareholder meeting. So I think this was aimed, there's bits of it that are pretty hardcore EV, but there's bits of it, I think, that are aimed for people who are just going like, right, okay, what's electric cars all about? I cover off some pretty simple stuff. All right, let's get into it. And we'll start with Elon's introduction to the event.
It's been a hell of a year, but a lot of good things are happening, and I think it's worth going over those things.
Next up, how's the Model 3 selling?
Model 3, last four quarters, is actually outselling all competitors combined in the U.S. It's the highest revenue car in the U.S. and best-in-class performance. And it's actually the best-selling car by revenue, including high-volume cars like the Toyota Camry and Honda Accord. The highest selling by revenue over the past year of any car in the U.S. Remarkable that an electric vehicle is the best-selling, the highest revenue car in the country. 10 years ago, nobody would have believed it. The Model 3 is outselling the Mercedes C-Class, the BMW 3 Series, the Audi A4 S4, and the Lexus combined.
We already heard that it's selling more than any other car in the US, so no surprise that it's selling more than its competitors combined. How do you think it feels to be over the road making those cars? Do you think they're taking electric cars seriously now? It was quite clear that Elon was actually having a bit of fun at this event, and the first of many jokes came at the expense of a car that's had a rough start to its life. The Audi e-tron was delayed. Now it's been recalled because of a possible thermal runaway event with its battery and water ingress. And I'm sure Audi are just an abundance of caution on that. He makes reference as well to what's a pretty common joke online. If you take the name e-tron and you put an accent above the E in French, it's not particularly complimentary.
We also have the most energy efficient cars in the world. Yeah, I don't want to pick on the e-tron, but it's...
pronounced it
There's room for improvement. So, Etron. If you speak French, that's quite funny.
All right, I'll fill in the blanks for you. It's turd, basically. It's the Audi turd in France. The social accounts of Audi that I've seen have stopped replying to people when people started to point this out and going, are you sure you've thought this through? There was, to begin with, a humorous response from Audi. Then I saw there's kind of like, they were losing patience, and then just putting serious replies back saying there is no accent above the E. It means e-tron. It means nothing else. Now they just stop replying every time someone notices and goes, hey, Audi, you've named a car poo. Let's talk next about battery range on the Tesla. This is something that Elon is clearly still proud of.
No electric car has exceeded the range of the first Model S that we came out with in 2012. Resisting the temptation to pick on competitors, I will not do that. Now to have a car that's 370 miles with steady improvements that are likely to occur over the next few years, it won't be long before we have a 400-mile range car.
That's a really good point about the fact that there's no car really competing with the Tesla Model S, and it's been on the market a very long time. Some people still scratch their heads and go, well, why is that? Well, I can give you my opinion. It's two things: battery and profit margin. Tesla have not been profitable. They are building their way towards profitability. They're not long-term profitable. Yes, they've had profitable quarters, and also they have gone big on battery, big on efficiency, big on their investments in batteries to ensure they have enough of them. So other car makers haven't got enough batteries. A lot of car makers would love more batteries. And also, so if you have 100 kilowatt hours of batteries, do you make one car with one battery or two cars with 50 kilowatt hour batteries? Other decisions, you know, are being made, were made a long time ago as well. Tesla, of course, as a pure EV company, had to get headlines, and they had to make the best car possible. Also because they wanted to make the best car possible. So why are the others not doing it? Well, they have shareholders that would want to know why their EV program is spending years and years not making money. Yes, other car companies could have put 150 kilowatt hour pack in their cars and made an EV at a massive loss. So that's why it's not being done. But when you look at it like that, like, oh, crikey, we're almost 2020. That's going to be on us really soon. And still no car goes further than a Model S, which has been out the longest. Next up, we talk demand.
I want to be clear, there is not a demand problem. Okay. Sales have far exceeded production. We have a decent shot at a record quarter on every level. And 90% of orders are coming from non-reservation holders. So these are our new customers.
90% of all orders are coming from non-reservation holders is really significant. Okay, let's move on. And next, Elon's talking about the type of people who are buying Teslas.
63% of the trade-ins are non-premium cars, which means people are trading up to a Model 3. When people look at total cost of ownership, the actual total cost of ownership, because electricity is so much cheaper than gasoline and the maintenance costs are much less, you don't need an oil change or filter change. The actual operating costs of an electric car are much less than a gasoline car. So it takes a while to educate people on this, because the easiest thing to look at is just the lease price or the purchase price. When factoring in fuel and maintenance, it's actually buying Model 3 is like buying a Camry or an Accord.
That goes back to what I said at the beginning of the show about how bits of this presentation were really pretty basic, and that's one of them. The whole thing about EVs being cheaper than fossil cars, that's not news to you or I or to anyone probably listening to this podcast. So that was aimed at someone. That wasn't that whole speech was no accident, by the way. And then it was backed up by this talk about how many places are banning fossil-fueled cars in the coming years.
You can see one country after another is putting dates on banning gasoline and diesel cars. The environmental pressure to move away from fossil fuels is getting stronger and stronger. Basically mad to buy a fossil fuel powered car at this point. Its long-term resale value will be less and less. Clearly we're headed towards electrification. Clearly we're headed towards autonomy. That's the kind of car you want to get. So I think people are starting to realize this.
And again, more of that basicness about resale values, residuals. You and I know all of this already. Who wants to be sitting on a fossil car in a few years' time? So again, that was aimed at someone. Right, let's talk next about the Model Y. And you know what I love about this is Elon still talks about the S3 and the X in the way that it should be spelt out. It's a small point, I know. I'm a pedant. Here we go, talking about the Model Y design and the efficiency of it.
Probably demand for the Model Y will be greater than the S3 and X combined. We put a lot of effort into the efficiency of the car, getting an incredibly low drag coefficient. We might be able to get the drag coefficient actually lower than the 3, which will be is quite unusual. And the car has a lot of room inside. I think like a good sense of design or a good design principle is if the car looks bigger, it feels bigger on the inside than it looks on the outside. That is a good design.
So again, a reference there to the Model Y being a bit of a TARDIS. Next, when will they start to make the Model Y? And this got a round of applause.
We expect to hit volume production towards the end of next year. Internally, we're aiming for sooner than that, but we want to have some margin on that timing.
So fall production, that's volume production next fall, let's say by the end of next year, if we factor in Elon time. And he is trying to be better at giving accurate forecasts, but you can imagine that, as has happened with every other model, Tesla staff will be the first to get the Model Y, and then production will start earlier than fall next year, which is huge, which is this time next year. You know, it'll be in production this time next year. Of course, mostly built on Model 3 bits, except they know that the demand is going to be off the charts because a crossover style SUV is so, so popular. Okay, let's move on. And I'm going to play you a long clip next, but this is really interesting. It's about battery technology, gigafactories, and this is where he brings in JB Straubel on stage as well. So you know I'm a battery geek. I love not only the EVs, but how they run as well. So I'm going to play you a longer clip here because, heck, I find it interesting.
I remember when we were like doing the calculations for battery capacity, and we're like, we need more batteries than all of Earth is currently producing. So it's, unless we build this thing, it's not going to happen.
It's sort of amazing how some really simple kind of napkin math could lead to such a kind of outrageous, you know, result. I mean, as you just said, you know, we basically did the quick math and looked at, okay, we're going to build, you know, so many 100,000 cars per year and this many kilowatt hours per car, you know, therefore, you know, 35 gigawatt hours of cells per year. Well, that's a huge number, and it was actually more than the entire world was producing for all applications, cell phones, computers, cars, everything, just a few years before that. This isn't going to work unless we build an entire new facility to solve this ourselves.
This was basically, I think, 5 slides. We showed a picture of a factory in the hills and said to investors, we need money to build this thing. And they gave us the money, which was cool. And
we built it.
Yeah, we built it.
And it happened.
There it is, right there. It's really giant, and it's getting bigger. 35 gigawatt hours of capacity potential at Giga right now, and then we're about sort of 70 or 80% of that capacity has been realized. So I think there was a bit of confusion earlier this year because Panasonic said there was 35, and there's technically yes, but it's not 35 at max capacity yet, but it will be probably, I don't know, end of this year or next or early next. It's also lowest cost per kilowatt hour. It's half of all global EV battery production. So if you add up all the EVs, all electric vehicles in the world, all the batteries that they use, that's approximately equal to what we make at the Gigafactory.
That last stat is stunning. Now, I need to be careful because sometimes when Elon says stuff like what we're making is equivalent to everything else combined, sometimes there's a little asterisk on that saying except China, because China is a juggernaut with EVs and battery production. So I'm going to double check and watch the video again to see if that's what they were referring to. Right, talking of China, though, that is the perfect segue. I don't do many of those, by the way. And let's talk about Gigafactory 3 and how many YouTube videos are online. It's like a new video every day, and that hasn't been lost on Elon.
And then we're making good progress on the Gig Factory in Shanghai. If you've watched the progress online, it gets followed with in excruciating detail. I think the number of drones flying over the factory is pretty nutty. And we need air traffic control. The shell of the building is basically done at this point. It's the fastest large factory construction that I've ever seen. And maybe there's something faster, but I'm not aware of it because it was amazing. And we're already installing a lot of the factory equipment, the stamping machines. We're installing the paint shop and the factory module lines and that kind of things.
Elon and Tesla say so much that is aspirational, that's optimistic, that it's very, very easy. If you are one of those talking down electric cars, if you're a journalist that's funded by the, I say journalist, I should call them bloggers these days, there's very few real journalists left, but if you're, a writer for hire on some internet blog that has got a moderate amount of traffic funded or owned, but at least in some oblique way funded by the oil industry, it's very easy to say, oh, Elon said he was going to be doing this. Oh, there's no way he'll do that for X, Y, Z reasons. And throw that uncertainty in we talk about the fudsters, the fear, uncertainty and doubt. It's very easy to find that uncertainty in most cases, but not this one. Everybody said, you can't build. You can't build a factory in 3 months. Elon's finally lost the plot this time. He's in cloud cuckoo land. Yep, there's a factory built. They're pouring concrete for the floors. Machines are going in. They can't fight it, so they've just stopped fighting the Gigafactory 3 argument. They're trying to spread the lies elsewhere because they've had to give up. They've had to, because it's so obvious, because it's something physical that's there. You know, they've moved on to talking about something else, like, I don't know, summon or self-driving, where there's a delay or autonomy, because they can make their lies more believable more easily that way. The Gigafactory 3 is amazing. And what about Giga 4? We're talking Europe.
Gigafactory Europe. As you can see, we've made great progress here. We just put this picture in like literally 5 minutes ago. So this is not the actual place that it'll be. This is a generic picture of Europe.
People are going to try and reverse engineer exactly where that picture
is. Yeah, I'm sure people can figure it out.
Beautiful scene.
Yeah, lovely.
Factory there.
And what about Tesla Energy? Let's find out.
We're looking at probably at least doubling energy storage growth for Powerwall and Powerpack compared to 2018. Internally, we have a bigger goal than that, but I think we can at least double it. And we're installing the solar roof in 8 states. We're about to complete version 3 of the solar roof.
So if you were hoping to get the solar roof sometime, good to hear. Good to hear an update on that, because it's sometimes forgotten about as well in the general discussion. It's a mind-bogglingly complex problem to fix, as always. They launched it and went, look what we've made! They hadn't actually made it, so then they had to go and work out how to do it. But look, since day one, that's what they do. That's how they work. It's how so many tech companies work as well. They release beta products and then work out how to do it. But they are shipping, and they're working it out. Now, let's turn the subject to when you're on the move. When you are on the move doing road trips, you are thinking about charging. And if there is a problem, all cars are machines and all machines will break one day. How do you get them fixed? Well, Elon spoke to that.
We got the version 3 supercharger, 75 miles in 5 minutes capability, 250 kilowatt system. When 250 kilowatts are charging a really efficient car, the miles per minute is super good. We'll be publishing new maps for the supercharger deployment. This map doesn't even include all of the locations, but the two critical factors we've found for sales in any given region, and they're really obvious actually, are is there a service center within reasonable distance? And are there superchargers on all the routes that you'd like to take? We can map our sales to, like, basically people are just, like, sensible. They're like, okay, you need to service your car and you need to be able to travel conveniently on long distance routes. And so wherever we've got that, our sales are good. We also have to have good consumer financing and make sure pricing is competitive, and also enabling Tesla to use other high-speed charging networks. So we have like adapters for that. I'm actually really excited about our mobile service. We have mobile service vans that will come fix your car as soon as it breaks down. It actually will immediately send a note to Tesla mobile service and will be on its way to fix the car. And so we trialed it in the Bay Area, and now I've extended it to the LA area and a number of others for tire repair. So we'll just come, the van will arrive, give you a new tire in half an hour, and you're on your way.
And that's interesting because it does play into something that has stopped me buying a Tesla thus far. Not that I've got the money to, by the way. That's the number one reason, can't afford it. Number two reason, don't need one. Number three, like number reason 400, actually, I am nowhere near either superchargers or a service centre. So the thing about long journeys here in the UK, all my journeys, all the places I go would be covered by superchargers. So that kind of point is null and void. Service centres, as far as I know, I'm on the middle of the South Coast. I'm pretty much equidistant from one in somewhere called Bristol and one in London. If you know of any that I could get closer to, I guess I could use a thing called Google and find myself, but maybe you want to tell me in the responses. You can email me anytime to this program, hello@evnewsdaily.com, or leave a comment on Facebook, and I put the show on YouTube as well, the audio only, if you want to leave a comment on there, which is nice and easy if there's a closer one for me to get to. It is a concern because you want to make sure that your cars are serviceable. Okay, right. Next, let's talk the hot topic of the pickup truck.
The pickup truck, which we hope to unveil hopefully this summer. We spent a lot of time on design of the pickup truck. This is something that'll, if you're driving it down a road, just look like it came out of a sci-fi movie. So it'll be really cool, I think. The Semi, which we look forward to getting into production, you know, hopefully towards the end of next year. A lot of this also is dependent on our ability to manufacture a lot of cells and make a lot of battery packs. There's not much point in adding product complexity if we don't have enough batteries. then it's complexity but without gain. We're matching the product rollout according to the scaling of battery production. That's really the main limiting factor.
Summer unveil of the pickup truck, what you call summer, what Elon calls summer, who knows, maybe September, middle of September. I guess if you get into October, that's properly autumn, right? But, you know, we're on Elon time here. And that is a nice way to finish the show. He was definitely in a good mood, very jubilant, very relaxed. I think Elon spoke very well. I don't mean that to be, oh, goodness me, patronizing or condescending, given my kind of background of 20 years working in radio. I'm not pretending that I'm an expert in speaking out loud, but Elon can certainly, sometimes when he's public speaking, I think because people like that tend to have about four brains all working at once. And sometimes I think any one of the four brains forgets to communicate with the mouth. So they're super geniuses. And sometimes not always the best public speakers. Otherwise, some people who are absolute dummies are pretty good at public speaking. Some people get to a pretty high office in certain countries by just being good at public speaking and gathering large crowds and attracting followers. I will mention no names. When there's not much kind of going on behind the curtains, apart from, I don't know, like a hamster running around in a wheel. So I mean that in that I think sometimes Elon is consumed with the detail that he isn't able just to give the big headline. Tesla events aren't like that. So, saying all of that, I think he spoke really well, and he was clearly, clearly having fun. So I'm going to leave you with this clip, because the presentation goes into a big Q&A afterwards as well. Some interesting stuff in there, and I'll come back in a moment after this final clip just to tell you about what they talked about. But I think this is a nice last clip to play.
I'm sometimes a little optimistic about timeframes. It's time you knew. It's time you knew. Would I be doing this if I wasn't optimistic? Jeez.
Well, thanks to Sean Mitchell from his All Things EV channel for putting comprehensive show notes for the whole hour and a half together on his YouTube channel. So things that I haven't included because they are of interest, but I don't think, you know, we need to be playing clips of the whole thing. Otherwise, just go and watch the whole hour and a half. He said they might get into the mining business. Then he sort of had half a smile. So I don't know if that was an Elon joke and I didn't get it, or that he was being serious, but they might get into the mining business. battery and powertrain investor day is likely this summer, and hopefully by the end of the year. Battery cell production to scale and price per kilowatt hour and full self-driving the most strategic metrics, he says. I quote, "We don't want to let the cat out of the bag too much, but we want to get into large-scale production and cost per kilowatt hour lower and energy density higher." End quote, when talking about batteries and some of the Maxwell technology. Really interesting, the company that they recently bought. Tesla Insurance, he says, they have a small acquisition to make and some software to write, but otherwise Tesla Insurance is very much still on the roadmap. The Tesla pickup to be more functional than an F-150 and better handling than a 911. I've heard this before. It's a weird thing to say because the pickup truck is not comparable to a Porsche 911. It's an interesting thing, headline grabbing thing to say. He's said it on Ryan McCaffrey's podcast. He's said it again yesterday, a couple of hours ago. It's a weird thing to say because it's a pickup and it's not comparable to a Porsche 911. I don't care what you say. Will it be better than a Ford F-150? Of course it will. Will it be better than every other pickup? Of course it will. Will it be better than most vehicles? Of course it will. Say it'll handle better than a Porsche 911. Okay, well, you know, it's a good headline. Also on the subject of SpaceX and Starlink, again, if you didn't know, very quick recap. They recently sent a bunch of satellites. What is Starlink? It is an array of, I think they're satellites, that can provide an internet service to people on the ground, mainly aimed not at high density areas where cell coverage is good, but it's an array of satellites in space which can provide internet connectivity to the ground in rural areas. And in terms of putting Starlink to use with Tesla, could the Tesla cars get their internet through Starlink rather than over the cell networks? Elon said that it was kind of a medium-sized pizza-shaped array is what you would need to pick up Starlink, and they could use a smaller antenna, but actually better rely on the cell networks, and that's not really what Starlink is designed for, shooting all of these things into space and then providing internet connectivity to rural areas rather than for cars flying around. In terms of ride sharing with human drivers to begin with, makes more sense. And they said they'll do that. And so ride sharing with human drivers, isn't that just called Uber or Lyft? Well, you know, Uber and Lyft are just a piece of software. Obviously, Uber and Lyft are lots of drivers and lots of cars, but ultimately what powers them is software. Why wouldn't Tesla get into the Uber business and write some software that actually, if you had a choice of Uber or Lyft or Tesla Rideshare, and you could open up your Tesla Rideshare app and call a car to come and pick you up and take you somewhere with a human driver who was earning some extra money, maybe to pay for their car lease or something, but you knew that a Tesla was going to arrive, you know, you're getting a certain standard. I hate to say this. A certain type of person. I don't want to be snobby or anything about it, but I think you would get a certain kind of person that wants to do this, right? And so, because it was not the cheapest thing to buy a Tesla. And so you would get a guaranteed ride in an electric car to take you where you're going. It may be more expensive, but that's interesting. I would do that. So he also talked about towing capacity for the truck, the F-150 competitor. He said it will meet or exceed the F-150, and so I think that's a given. They must be looking at companies like the statements like Rivian are making with the R1T and looking at making sure that the Tesla truck is at least comparable. And then finally there was a question about India, and he said Tesla will be in India next year, of course a massive market that again needs electric transport pretty urgently. So that's our look back at the Tesla shareholder event 2019. If you would like to leave any comments, I'd love to hear from you. As always, you can email me. My address personally is hello@evnewsdaily.com. And if you want to leave a comment on Facebook and YouTube, please do. I read all of them. I try and respond to all of them as well if they're asking a question. Thank you so much to everyone that does. And I hope you've enjoyed this bonus show. Time for the endy bit. Well, there are now 218 patrons, and I got some new names to read out as well on the regular show. Thank you very much. This show is funded, of course, by Patreon, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. 218 of those people keep this show going. If you want to see what it's all about, thank you as always to our premium partners, Phil Roberts from Electric Future. and Brad Crosby as well. Thank you, both of you, and a third to add very soon to that list. And if you want to get any of the previous shows, they are online, 495 of those previous shows to download instantly if you want to. You can get the new ones first and free and automatically by hitting subscribe on your podcast app or even on YouTube if you want to. In the meantime, come and say hi on the social media by searching EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you soon. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.